Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Let's turn back to Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 19. If this is your first service, I've been teaching on this. This is my third service, last night, this morning, tonight, and then two more services tomorrow. And we're dealing with these verses out of Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 23. And it says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And I've made some statements that I believe that if we could really understand just those few verses right there, that this would totally revolutionize our personal relationship with God. As a whole, the body of Christ does not understand this. These terminologies have become cliches that we just say them and don't think about it. And so I really believe that we need to just camp here and mine the wealth and the good that is in these verses. And so that's what we've been doing during this meeting. Last night I started talking about the holy place is talking about entering into the place where God dwelt. And in the old covenant, people were restricted from that. There was a veil that held it back. And it says over in Hebrews chapter 9 that this was signifying that the way unto God was not yet manifest as long as the old covenant was still in effect. The old covenant could not bring you into the holy place. It could tell you that there was a holy place, that God was real, but it couldn't bring you into relationship with him. All it could do was show you how far short you fell of that. But through Christ, the veil is his flesh, and it has been rent in two, and we now have direct access to God by the blood of Jesus, not by your own works. And we spent last night talking about that. Today, we started talking about that Jesus is our high priest, which again was totally contrary to the Old Testament way of doing things, because Jesus didn't come from the tribe of Levi. And according to Hebrews chapter 7, if there is a change in the priesthood, then that means that there has to be a change in the law, because the law was very strict about only Levites could be a high priest. And so Jesus is our high priest. And then I was emphasizing, it says, by a new and living way. That's implying that there was an old way. The old way was the law, the Old Testament way of relating to God. And this has now been superseded. And we use the verses out of Hebrews chapter 8, where it says, in that he saith that there is a new covenant, he hath made the first old, and that which is old decays and is ready to vanish away. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 18 and 19 says that there is a disannulling of the commandment that was given before because of the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. And so, praise God. Anyway, I've been saying some things that are just radical. Radical. And I know that there's a lot of people that are shocked by this. And they say, I haven't heard that before. But that doesn't mean that it's wrong because we hadn't heard it before. I've been using lots of scriptures. Lots of scriptures. And let me just say this, you know, probably one of the most common comments I get from people is that I know God is real and I know that he wants to bless me and I know that there's so much more than what I've received, but, and then they say, it's just not working. I don't have joy. I don't have peace. I'm not walking in health. Things aren't working. That is the typical Christian statement. They know that they're born again. They have no doubt about that. If they were to die, they believe that they would go into the presence of the Lord. But they know they aren't experiencing the victory that God has for them. And yet, when you start telling them something new, there's an immediate resistance. Man, I don't want to change. You know, this is what I believe my whole life. Well, if what you believe in isn't working, then you need to change what you're believing. Why is it that we're so resistant towards change if your testimony is that I know that there's more, but I'm not experiencing it? Well, then you ought to be more open to change if what you are believing isn't working. And I'm sharing with you things from Scripture that, yes, is different than what most of Christianity is preaching today, but it's not different from the Bible. We are living in a day where there is a drought for hearing the true Word of God. There's lots of people in churches, but they aren't hearing the true Word of God. They're hearing a lot of religious things that's actually bondage and binding people and not setting them free. I am not against the church. I am for the church. I go to a local church. We are encouraging pastors. Matter of fact, I made that announcement this morning, and I forget how many pastors, but we've got dozens of pastors that have been attending these meetings. There are good churches, but I'd say that they're in the minority today. And there's a lot of religious churches that actually do a lot of damage. And I know some of you go to those dead churches. And you bootleg the gospel off my television program. I'm where you go to get fed. But then you go to a dead church and pay your tithes to that. Shouldn't happen. You ought to be in a good church. Oh, but I was raised in this church. Who cares? You know what? You need to go someplace where you can share the vision and you can be taught the Word of God. We act like church is kind of an appendage on our life, and it's not the focus. It ought to be opposite. It ought to be your relationship with God, your connection with brothers and sisters. That ought to be the focus of your life, and then your job and other things ought to be appendages. If we would put God first, I guarantee you everything in your life would work much, much better. So anyway, we've been saying some radical, radical things from these verses, that we have boldness to enter into the very presence of God because the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. God judged His Son and His flesh was broken for us. So now we can enter right into the very presence of God. And by a new and living way, as contrasted to a death way, that the Old Testament was a ministration of death. I used those verses this morning out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. And look in verse 23. This is an amazing statement to me. It says, "Let us draw near." And you know, I could spend an hour or two on each one of these phrases. I'm going to combine some of these just to be able to cover this. But let me first of all just say that it says, let us draw near to God. The context of this is let us enter into the holies. Let us now come into the very presence of God. But let me just emphasize something here that I think is misunderstood by most people. Most people today know that there is more intimacy with God than what they are experiencing. That they know that there's more blessing of God than what they're experiencing. But most Christians today do not see that they have any ability to do anything about it. Most Christians are petitioning God as if it's up to God how close to Him you are. Now, you may not have understood what I just said, but I'm going to say this so many ways, I think you'll eventually get it before the night's out. But for instance, like when it comes to revival, most Christians know that we need revival. They know that, man, people today aren't putting God first. God is not in the center of our lives. And so they go back into history and they read about times where people were, passionate about God. Passionate about God. And there have been outpourings of the Holy Spirit and entire countries and nations have turned to the Lord. There's been revivals right here back in the 1700s with Jonathan Edwards and other people that came through here. And so we read about this and we see that where we are is not as good as it has been in the past with people. And so the body of Christ is praying and asking God to pour out His Spirit. But the approach is incorrect because it's true that we need a greater manifestation of God. We need more people passionate about God. But how do you get there? Well, the common belief in the body of Christ is that we petition God and we beg Him and we plead. And they'll use scriptures like 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their land. And so we are praying and we're getting millions of people together. God won't hear one person. But if we could put 100 people or 1,000 people or 1,000,000 people together, that puts more pressure on God. And we're all interceding and crying out and begging God to move and commanding God to move. Totally wrong. That's implying that God is the reason that we aren't having revival. That's not true. It says in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, the apostle Peter was preaching and he said, "This promise is unto you and unto your children, and unto them that are afar off." That's talking about us. "Even as many as the Lord our God shall call." The Lord poured out the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and He has never taken Him back. See, people who are praying for a revival the way it's done today are basically believing that God is ticked off because the body of Christ hasn't done something right. We haven't sought Him, and so God has folded His arms, turned His back, and left us to ourselves, and we're stewing in our own juice because this is what we deserve. And so, God, we repent. Oh, God, move. Oh, God, pour out your Spirit. That's wrong. God poured out His Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and He hasn't got His arms folded and His back turned. God is with His arms outstretched, going about. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show Himself strong. He's trying to move on behalf. God is trying to move in your life more than you want Him to move. You don't need to plead with God to move. You don't need to beg God to pour out His Spirit. You don't need to ask God for more. People are always saying, "Oh God, just give me more of you." I don't like that kind of stuff. Somebody says, "Well, what's wrong with that?" Because that's implying that God is the one that's controlling the tap. God's the one that determines how much joy you've got, how much love you've got, how much victory and how much anointing. And so there's lots of religious people that are praying for a double portion. "Oh God, give me a double portion of the Holy Ghost." And they go back and talk about Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha got twice of the Spirit as Elijah. And they're having Elijah nights where you come and we're going to pray for you and you'll get twice the anointing. It's wrong.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK155 titled, "Please God, Do Something," when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
Again today, I would like to encourage any of you who have not yet become partners with us to join up and become partners. You know, there's about 1% of the people who actually receive from these programs who ever ride in and help us financially. And I'm not complaining about this. I'm just saying that it ought to be much greater. It really should be. You know, I believe that these truths need to get out to everybody in the world, but I can't do it by myself. I'm willing to make the programs. I'm willing to do all of the work, but we need people to help us. How can they preach except they be sent? I'm asking you to send me. I'm asking you to pray about it and then call and become a monthly partner with us today.